If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/youknowbusiness.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into the Next Pats Podcast. I'm Phil Perry. Very special episode for you this week. We have Matthew Berry, now part of the NBC Sports family, Team Peacock. That's right. Matthew Berry is with us to talk all things fantasy as they pertain to the Patriots. Which players on this Patriots roster do you want? Which ones do you want to avoid? How does the offensive play caller situation factor into the fantasy mix? Should that impact which Patriots you're eyeing when your fantasy draft comes up? It's a great conversation with Matthew Berry. We are psyched to have that guy aboard, and there is some additional fantasy content on Wednesday that you're going to have to tune into. It's on the new NFL on NBC Sports YouTube page. It is Roto World Draft Day. This is going to be 12 hours of fantasy coverage. It starts on Wednesday, 9 a.m. It's taking you right up through 9 p.m. Matthew Berry will be going strong, finishing strong with a special draft guide special, which will be on the YouTube channel as well as streaming on Peacock. So all kinds of fantasy content. This is the time of year. You guys are hungry for this. I get it. You know you're spending an ungodly amount of time researching who you should be drafting and who you shouldn't, but we have you covered here on Next Pats. And then Roto World Draft Day, Wednesday, 9 o'clock. We're also going to give you a brief Patriots training camp update. We'll do a little stock up, stock down. We will focus specifically on some of the young Patriots players, but I have some receiver takeaways, some schematic takeaways from recent Patriots training camp practices as well before they butt heads with the Carolina Panthers. But first, let's get to our conversation with Matthew Berry. Very excited to have with us now on the Next Pats Podcast, Matthew Berry. Matthew, we are thrilled to have you as part of the team here, the Peacock team. And before we get into our conversation, we're going to do a little fantasy, Patriot-centric fantasy conversation here. But before we talk about that, I need to ask you about Roto World Draft Day Marathon on Wednesday. Starts at 9 o'clock. You're going 12 hours. And I have to ask you, how do you plan on surviving 12 hours of fantasy football content?
It should be fine. I think it's the question is I wish we had more. Obviously, it's all going to be on the brand new NFL on NBC YouTube channel. Myself, Michael Smith, a cast of thousands, all the Roto World experts. There's going to be mock drafts. There's going to be analysis. There's going to be giveaways, I'm told. Lots of great stuff, including at the very end, it culminates with the Matthew Berry, the Roto World draft guide show. Michael Smith, myself, Chris Sims, Mike Florio, Peter King, with his training camp report, a cast of thousands, if you will, at 8 o'clock on Peacock and the NFL on NBC YouTube channel. So should be a great time. It's all this Wednesday. Really looking forward to it.
So Matthew, a lot of Patriots fans getting ready for their fantasy drafts, but they're also tracking their team in real time as they go through training camp here. And the big question that we really have been hitting on throughout the course of camp, and even before that, is what is going to happen with the Patriots offensive play caller? Matt Patricia's calling plays in the preseason over opener. Joe Judge is calling plays as well. Still some uncertainty there. And so my question for you as it pertains to fantasy is, do you steer clear of all Patriots until this situation sorts itself out? Or is there maybe some opportunity here given the uncertainty on that side of the ball in Foxborough?
Yeah, I think there's some opportunity here. My answer to your question is yes to both, right? The fact is, do you steer clear? Yes, I think in an ideal world, you wouldn't want to count on any Patriot. Because I was going to say back to you, there's some uncertainty. I'm like, would it matter if we knew who? We knew Josh McDaniels was calling the plays for so many years, and did you ever have a sense of what the game plan would be? I can't tell you how many times every fantasy manager that's ever had a Patriot player on their roster will tell you what all of us that do analysis will tell you, which is like, I don't know. Like, this is going to be run heavy. And then they go out and they throw 40 times a game. And they're like, okay, we think we can attack their safeties. And then they go out and they run 20 times a game. I mean, you know, a Belichick coach team is the most game plan specific team, I think, in the NFL in terms of how they attack their opponent. And they don't always attack in the way you would sort of expect or that the numbers dictate they might, which is sort of the brilliance of Belichick. So I don't know that it matters for our purposes that if we even know who the play caller is, because if we did, you'd still be like, I don't know. So on the one hand, I would say, yes, you're avoiding all Patriots. Having said that, they're obviously going to put up points and there's obviously fantasy value to be had. So there is some opportunity there. There's not one Patriot that I'd want to build around or that I'd go into a draft saying, I must come away with this player. But yes, at certain rounds and certain points, there are certainly some players that I think could provide interesting opportunities, especially at the running back and potentially tight end position.
So let's get into some of those guys, especially at running back, because between Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson, the Patriots have two guys that look like talented first and second down backs, something that we've seen during camp that's been interesting. No James White, so there's no real clear-cut third down back, but we've seen Ramondre Stevenson catch plenty of passes. If it were up to you and you had your choice between those two, which way are you leaning, Matthew?
It's Ramondre Stevenson. I don't even think it's all that close. When you bake in ADP, average draft position, Stevenson's going after Damian Harris. Obviously, Harris had the big year last year. There are rumors out there that maybe Harris isn't on this team, that there was talk of being traded. Who knows if that's going to be accurate? Certainly, James White retiring certainly changes the outlook of that running back room. So, but I just feel like, to your point, Stevenson is the more complete running back, the better chance of being a three-down back. We've never really seen Belichick give it to one guy. You know, he's usually a running back by committee guy. But if you're asking me which one of these guys has a chance to emerge as a true three down back, as a true fantasy superstar, Stevenson to me has the most upside. Remember last year, five different games. He only had five games with 12 or more touches. He averaged 15.8 fantasy points per game. He had over 75 yards from scrimmage in all those games. To your point, he caught passes. He looks good between the tackles as well. No disrespect to Damian Harris, who's a very good running back as well. I mean, 15 rushing touchdowns is 15 rushing touchdowns, right? But ultimately, to me, Stevenson offers the most upside and the most potential to be a well-rounded fantasy back.
I am with you on the Stevenson bust there, Matthew. I think he's extremely talented. He's the most talented back, in my opinion, that the Patriots have. And I do know they did consider eventually moving on from Damian Harris this year had they been able to acquire Leonard Fournette as a free agent. Obviously, they couldn't do that, so Harris is still around. The last thing I want to ask you about this Patriots roster as it pertains to fantasy, Matthew, is at the receiver spot. Because again, and you mentioned it earlier, the Patriots offense and uncertainty have become synonymous when it comes to fantasy. But with Devontae Parker and Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne and Jacoby Myers, they have four veteran guys that look like they're going to play real roles. Is there a receiver here you prefer?
Oh, I suppose if I had to take it depends on sort of what I need, I guess, is my point. If I'm in a deeper PPR league and I'm just like, you know what, I just need a guy that I can slot in like on bye weeks and that kind of stuff, or just, you know, a guy that I know I can count on. Jacoby Myers strikes me as the most, you know, the safest, if you will, the guy with the highest floor. But, and I know Tyler Thornton's having a great camp and everything like that. There's not a great track record of rookie wide receivers under Belichick producing fantasy numbers. So for me, if there is, and Kendrick Bourne certainly had some really nice moments last year, but Devontae Parker is somebody that's really interesting to me. Just because we've seen him perform at an elite level of all the receivers that the Patriots have, he's the guy that's been a fantasy superstar the most. He had that 1 year, right? 2 years ago in Miami, where he was just nothing short of spectacular. He's a guy that can win 50-50 balls, that can go up and be a nice red zone target. They don't really have that other than the tight ends, you know, this year. So I think it's a nice big target for Mac Jones. Ultimately, again, I don't know that I'm drafting any of these guys as anything other than a late round flyer. And there's a lot of wide receivers that sort of qualify there where you're like, yeah, he could be something. Right. You know, it's wide receiver is the deepest position in fantasy football. And there's a lot of guys going late in drafts that have upside. So if I had to pick one, I'm going to say Devontae Parker just because of his skill set and because of the fact that we've seen him do it before, but we know the Patriots. The Patriot way is to spread the ball around. And so he'll have a big game, and then the next week it's a Kendrick Bourne game. The next week it's a Jacoby Myers game. And like, just, you know, so for me, I just, again, late rain flyer at most, but I'll say Parker is the guy that I would choose of that group.
He has been so good with those contested catches, especially when the Patriots are working on red zone periods during training camp. So I like that choice a lot. He is the talented Mr. Roto. Matthew Berry, thanks so much for being with us here on Next Pats. We will be watching for Roto World Draft Day on Wednesday. 12 hours of coverage. Good luck with it. Thanks again.
You bet.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used, because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Great stuff there from Matthew Berry. Thanks again to him for joining us here on Next Pats. A little more information here on Roto World Draft Day. NBC Sports Edge will be offering a subscription to its popular draft guide for only $1. For the first month. Roto World Draft Day programming throughout the day will feature mock drafts, podcasts, a roundtable discussion hosted by Matthew Berry and Michael Smith, a sneak peek at new fantasy football shows, and the Roto World Draft Guide show hosted by Matthew and also streamed on Peacock. All right, so you got your fantasy fix. Now let's talk a little bit about some of the details of the things that we have seen at Patriots camp. Again, you have these Carolina Panthers joint practices, which to me will be the most competitive practices to this point of Patriots training camp. And it'll give us a real sneak peek at how this thing is actually going to look against another team in a competitive situation. Has the Patriots offense been good? If you've been following this podcast, the Patriots Talk podcast with Tom Curran, it's been rocky to say the least. But I thought they represented themselves just fine in that preseason opener against the Giants. Obviously, the starters really didn't play, though the Giants starters did. And so I think there is something to take away from that and say, okay, they are going to be able to line up, get the football snapped, pick up yards, maybe even score a touchdown the way that Tyquan Thornton did, catching a pass from Brian Hoyer. It's just looked choppy, and it really has continued to, even through Monday's practice, which was more of a cleanup kind of practice for the Patriots ahead of the Panthers joint practices. Even then, a little bit of a mess at times offensively. There was a hurry-up period at the end of practice on Monday that was competitive, where the Patriots ended up allowing what would have been 3 sacks. We know Mac Jones is in no way, shape, or form going to be harmed during these practices, but Josh Uche, Raekwon McMillan, Jabril Peppers, all getting into the Patriots backfield very, very quickly. You also had 2 false start penalties, one from Trent Brown, one from Hunter Henry. So again, stagnant, disjointed, choppy at times. There were some highlights to take away from the Patriots offense during that 2-minute hurry-up period. Mac Jones found Nelson Agholor for a one-handed catch in the end zone with Jalen Mills on him. I thought Nelson Agholor was one of the performers of the day for the Patriots. He made our stock up category from this session. And to me, he has been relatively consistent. He's been active. He's been involved in these practices. So I know we've talked about it here on this pod and elsewhere. Maybe Nelson Agholor isn't long for the Patriots roster, but the way he's been deployed, the number of targets he's seen, it would tell you that at least as of this moment, he's making a push for a roster spot and a real role offensively. Let's continue with some stock up. I'm throwing Yadni Kajust in my stock up category because not only did he perform well last week in a padded practice with Isaiah Wynn out, he's on the right side at right tackle. Justin Herron has not played well. He's been hurt. He actually missed Monday's practice with an injury that he suffered against the Giants in the preseason opener. But Kajust, who also at one point got hurt during that preseason opener, back on the field, up and at him. Dependability, Bill Belichick will tell you. The most important ability. He's out on the field. He continues to participate. Belichick has said this has been the best training camp that Kajust has had as a pro in New England. He has consistently been banged up over the course of his time here in New England. And so the fact that he is on the field is helping him in that regard, but you don't notice him. And that to me is the key. It's not just that he's out there. It's not just that he's out there and Wynn and Herron aren't. It's that when he's out there, you don't see him necessarily giving up some of the easy pressures that we've seen along the offensive line for the better part of the last month. So Yadni Kajust, stock up. To me, he clearly looks like the number three tackle right now in New England. And if Isaiah Wynn continues to miss time, who knows how important he will end up being to this Patriots offense. Stock up. One more on the offensive side for you. It's Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith, very active in Monday's practice. I think he has had a very consistent camp in terms of tracking and catching the football. Now, he has not been used as a downfield threat. Really, nobody in 11-on-11 periods has been a big-time down-the-field target for Mac Jones, maybe outside of Devontae Parker. Anytime he gets one-on-one on the outside, Mac Jones looks very comfortable floating up a 50-50 ball for Parker. But even though Smith has been used in more of the short to intermediate area, he's caught the ball very consistently, something he had a hard time with in his first year. And he's been deployed in a number of different ways. We've seen him in the backfield. We've seen him in line. We've seen him in the slot. And I thought today, the way he was used also gave us a little nugget, a little schematic nugget on where the Patriots offense is at right now. We know we've been talking about this Shanahan style system for weeks now, months, probably going back to the spring. And that's not going anywhere. Even though you didn't see that early on Thursday night against the Giants, it was there and it was there quite a bit during Monday's practice. And my assumption is we will continue to see it quite a bit against the Carolina Panthers. But there was a new wrinkle. And when I say new, it was new in that it was used 3-4 times maybe in Monday's practice, as opposed to the one snap here or there over the course of training camp. And that's the RPO. College game, coming to the NFL. This has been going on for years, right, in other places. And we see a team like the Dolphins lean on the RPO more heavily than just about any other team in football there with Tua Tagovailoa. But Jonnu Smith on the receiving end of two passes that looked like they were the pass option portion of the run pass option play that was called by Mac Jones. So something to keep an eye on, because we also saw in a side session during a special teams period, Mac Jones and Jonnu Smith working on their connection, sending Smith in a variety of different motions across the formation. So either across Mac Jones's face or behind him in sort of an orbit motion fashion where he goes into the backfield briefly and continues on his way into the flat and then completing passes out to Smith to get him in space and allow him to use his skill set, which is as a yards after catch threat. Let's be honest, that's something Bill Belichick spoke extremely highly of, was that ability that Smith possessed during his time with the Titans. We know it's one of the reasons why the Patriots ended up bringing Smith to New England. We didn't get to see him in that fashion all that much in 2021, but the Patriots are trying to figure out ways to get this guy in space to better utilize his talents. And so the RPO game could be one of those ways. And again, we saw that several times on Monday, something for us to keep our eyes out for when we get into these joint practices with the Panthers and beyond. All right, three rookie stock ups for you. Marcus Jones, I'm still having in the stock up category. His stock continues to steadily rise. The corner out of Houston, you know we love him here on the Next Pats podcast. He continues to get really early reps in the slot with this Patriots defense, first team reps, while we're seeing John Jones, who's been the slot corner here for years, on the outside. And I think there's a very good chance that the best three at that position for the Patriots are John Jones and Jalen Mills on the outside. Mills continues to have a good camp. and Marcus Jones on the inside. So somebody I will be watching very closely when the Panthers come to town. Brendan Schooler is somebody we have to mention. Undrafted rookie out of Texas, played all kinds of special teams units on Thursday against the Giants. And then to me, almost more importantly, we see him get very extended special teams tutelage from Cam Accord and from Matthew Slater. There were times during Monday's practice where those two alone, Schooler and Slater, the only two players working closely with the special team staff, getting their reps in, getting their mental reps in, having Schooler block Slater and protect and just running through things at a high rate of speed with those two being the two involved on one of the practice fields basically by themselves. So when you see that, you have to make note of it. We've talked about Schooler as a potential special team standout. He, to me, has been the most likely undrafted rookie to make this roster, really from the day he was signed here, because we could tell and we had heard that he was going to get a real shot at a special teams role. Looks like he's making good at that, making good on that, excuse me, at this point in time. I know I said three rookies. I'm going to give you two really quickly here. It's DeMarcus Mitchell, the edge defender out of Purdue, and it's also Sam Roberts, the D2 star out of Northwest Missouri State, who had himself a game against the Giants on Thursday night. You saw him at times move Evan Neal, high-end first-round pick of the Giants, off his spot under the lights. So good for Sam Roberts there. 6'5", 295, pass-rushing interior defensive lineman is what it looks like right now. Who knows? Maybe blossoms into more than that at some point here. But because of the jump in competition, he obviously has a lot to learn in terms of fundamentals and everything associated with pro football. But for him to flash the way he did against the Giants spoke to me. I would also say the same about Mitchell, in that Mitchell has just been, I would say, even more consistent. You know, LeBrian Ray is somebody we've mentioned as an undrafted defensive lineman who I think could make an impact. But Mitchell has been maybe not as flashy. Maybe his splash plays aren't as splashy as Ray's have been. But Mitchell has consistently showed up in practices and made plays. He came up with a sack on Brian Hoyer late in Monday's practice. He's another guy we've seen get some special teams alone time with the special teams coaches out on the practice field. Maybe Matthew Slater's involved, maybe one or two others, but they have their eyes on him there and how he could be used in the kicking game as well. So I'm putting DeMarcus Mitchell in my stock up category. Stock down, I have two cornerback names for you. Juwan Williams, who we did not see at Monday's practice. Malcolm Butler, another we did not see during Monday's practice. Butler is a really interesting case to me because I thought when they signed him, he might end up starting for this team. And he has taken some early reps with the Patriots corners, top defense, first team defense types of reps. But those have not been consistent for him. And then we saw against the Giants, he played into that first quarter while the vast majority of starters on both sides of the ball never got off the bench. Then we saw him on the punt return unit as well. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not saying these are harbingers of bad things to come for Malcolm Butler and his status on the roster. But now he's missed a practice. Apparently he's dealing with something physically that kept him off the field Monday. And if he misses these practices with the Panthers, again, these should be the two most important practices to this point of training camp thus far. He's just not helping his chances of A, having a role with this defense, or B, making the roster. You look at that outside cornerback position, Jalen Mills, John Jones now again is in the mix there. You have Terrence Mitchell. You have Jack Jones, who has been out there at times with the early defense, and he seems to have his nose around the ball when he's targeted in practices, as he did in Thursday night's game. So Malcolm Butler, to me, is not locked in for a roster spot at this point. And if he continues to miss time, as he did on Monday, who knows where he ends up come September. The Patriots, I'll remind you, they do have to get down to 85 players. There are two cuts now that's been happening the last few years. You have to get down to 85 by August 16th. That's Wednesday of this week. Then it's August 23rd, you get down to 80. And then August 30th, you get down to your 53. So something to keep an eye on there. Williams, I thought, had a rough go on Thursday night. Again, he's missing time now as well. Certainly not a lock to make the roster. That might be putting it lightly. Got one more stock down for you here. And unlike those other two, his roster spot is not in jeopardy. But how things have been trending for him, is worthy of attention, and that's Kendrick Bourne. Bourne was targeted only once by Mac Jones during Monday's practice. Clear miscommunication on the route between Bourne and Jones. Jones expected him to keep going through a fade down the left sideline. Jalen Mills actually ended up closer to the football by the time it hit the turf than Kendrick Bourne was. Bourne stopped his route, cut it off at about 10 yards, and that was just a little encapsulation of how things have been going for Bourne during this training camp. Our guy, Andrew Callahan, does a great job tracking all of these completions, targets. Kendrick Bourne, he has Kendrick Bourne for 3 catches in team period since August 1st. We're recording this on August 15th. He just has not been a consistent part of what the Patriots have been doing through the air in the passing game during training camp. Does that mean that will continue to be the case come to September? No, certainly not. But the reason you have to keep an eye on this is because this is an offense that's going to want to run a lot of 12 personnel. We know they got rid of the fullback, so you don't have to worry about 21 anymore, but they are going to want to use both Hunter Henry and Johnny Smith and get those guys on the field at the same time. That generally means one or two receivers on the roster on the field at the same time. Jacoby Myers has been maybe their most consistent receiver throughout camp, continues to produce. Mac Jones continues to lean on him when things do get competitive and the situations get a little tight. He's comfortable throwing it to Jacoby Myers in tight coverage. I would expect that he's on the field a whole heck of a lot as their almost de facto number one, because at this point, I could still see him being their most frequently used wide receiver. But Nelson Agholor is making a lot of money, and he's been much more involved over the last few weeks of camp than Kendrick Bourne has been. Devontae Parker, they brought in to give them something that they didn't have before. He's going to be involved. Tyquan Thornton's having a strong camp. They want to use his speed at times, be able to soften up defenses. They will find reps for all of these guys. Bourne is someone to me who has been conspicuously quiet. That's all. And he has still been Mr. Smiles and Mr. Energy when things are going well for the offense. We talked to him after Monday's practice. He said, hey, I'm willing to do whatever the team wants me to do. Even if it's me sitting on the bench, I'm okay with that. So maybe there was something in his subconscious there rattling around when he gave us that answer. But at this point, it's hard to look at him as somebody who has been a significant contributor on the offensive side of the ball. So there's your stock up, your stock down. We're going to look ahead to these Carolina Panthers practices and know that those are going to be incredibly important. So make sure you're tuning into the Patriots Talk podcast, Tom Kearns Patriots Talk podcast. I'll be there as well. You get all our takeaways that you need to know there on the podcast. But of course, head on over to NBCSportsBoston.com for all of our written coverage there. I'm at Phil A. Perry. I'll have your immediate post-practice tweets with the info that you want. And of course, we're on your television screens every night, 6 o'clock Monday through Thursday, 6:30 on Friday. Our Bella Early Edition with Trenny and Boston Sports Tonight at 10. Stick with us. We've got you covered from every single possible training camp angle. We'll talk to you very soon.